Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know the number to get involved. It's 888-957-9570. So we talked a lot of Giants baseball this morning. I did want to pivot now to the San Francisco 49ers because we did get the news yesterday that George Kittle is going to be put on the IR. So at minimum, Joe, he's going to miss the next four games, which is obviously a brutal blow. He, quite frankly, he was the best 49er last year. Cut and dry. I know he wasn't first team all pro like Fred was. He was second team all pro, but George Kittle was the team's best player last season. And now he's going to miss the next four games. That is the most trusted agent on that offense for your quarterback, whether it be Brock Purdy or if Mac Jones has to go this week. We do know that Juwan Jennings, as we heard in the injury report, is day to day. So that's a good news. He avoided any significant injury with that shoulder because we were talking about yesterday the hypothetical of not having both Kittle and Jennings, which would be brutal heading into this week. The workload for Christian McCaffrey, obviously major concerns there. So there's a lot heading into this game. It's just week two. But Joe, I wanted to start here. The head coach.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle Shanahan, I did a deep dive yesterday. I had some time on my hands, which is the nice, but about 12, 1 o'clock, I'm either taking a little bit of a nap or I'm trying to do a deep dive and get some nuggets on the upcoming game. And so I was just wondering, all right, so what are the angles with the New Orleans Saints? It's new regime. They don't have Derek Carr. They don't have Dennis Allen. If Spencer Rattler, the quarterback, is like,
I don't know if I can name four or five defensive players on New Orleans.
I think you could actually, like, I'm going to tell you some names that you'd actually be surprised. Like, you'll hear of them.
Cam Jordan.
Chase Young, former Niner.
Oh, he's a Saint.
Uh-huh. He's a Saint.
I didn't know he was there again this year.
Not Gary Saint, Gene, but he is a Saint. DeMario Davis, you've heard of.
Oh, yeah, linebacker.
There you go. Isaac Yiadom, former Niners there.
Pick on him.
There you go. Justin Reed. Kool-Aid McKinstry. What is one of the all-time names, by the way? Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Okay. There are some names I recognize.
There are some names. And you recognize the head coach, Kellen Moore. Obviously, whether that be the former Boise State quarterback, which he was for a long
time. Statue of Liberty plays, what I think of.
There you go.
One of the all-time winningest college football players ever.
I think of him and Chris Peterson, the then head coach there with those veneers, those teeth that he's got on the sideline, them coming up short. Colin Kaepernick and the Wolfpack taking them down back in the day. Preventing them from having a BCS berth. But you could think of him there, or you could think of him as the offensive coordinator, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, and most recently last year with the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. But he's a first-time head coach in the National Football League. And it got me thinking, how many times has Kyle Shanahan gone up against first-time head coaches? And when I say first-time head coaches, I mean first time. Not second stint, not first time with the team. This is first time, their first year being a head coach. And I did a deep dive on this since he came into the league. So I got it right here. I got my little notes app, and I took some notes.
Shanny is sneaky still young and sneakily been in the league a decade in terms of a head coach.
Yeah.
He just entered. The Fox put it on, and I've talked about this over and over, but Fox on the broadcast put it on the graphic before the game. Longest tenured 49er coach since Bill Walsh. It's kind of crazy.
It's his ninth season. He's his ninth season, Joe. So 2017, he came in there, and it was the same time as another rookie head coach in his division, Sean McVay. They went 1-1 against the Rams that year. So
okay.
He was 1-1 against a first-time head coach. So I just did the deep dive. So 1-1 in 2017. 2018, he actually played quite a few.
Really?
He was 1-4 in that season. So not great. 2019, obviously go to the Super Bowl that season. 5-0 against first-time head coaches. 2020, 1-0. All right, but kind of a lost year. 2021, 5-0 again.
Wow.
So, again, you're sensing a theme here. As he's getting better, as he's getting, these rosters are getting better and better, he's getting better and better against some of these first-time head coaches. Now, some of this is also, there's a lot baked into it. A first-time head coach is probably inheriting a team that's not very good. Like he did, right? So there's obviously some nuance to all this, and I'm just presenting the information. Take it how you will, all right? So 2021, 5-0. 2022, 1-2. 2023, 2-0. In 2024, last year, he was 2-1. So overall, he's 17-7 going up against teams with first-time head coaches in their first season. Yes. So it actually got me thinking, not what I was like planning on doing. So I was just looking at his winning percentage, but it just got me thinking, Joe, this guy's been in the league for so long, and the amount of names that like we just forget that were first-time head coaches and we'll never see again. It's pretty incredible. Like, I had names that I forgot about in here.
Give me some of the names.
Joe Judge.
What?
Joe Judge beat him.
No way.
Pat Shurmur beat him.
In my mind, Pat Shurmur has got like, you know those like old cartoons where the guy's got the nightgown and he's woken up in the middle of the night? That's what I think of when Ebenezer, I think of Pat Shurmur.
Ebenezer
like a
Scrooge.
Sleeping cap?
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
Ebenezer
does that make
Scrooge.
Sense?
Yes, that's exactly.
It's him and Joe Philbin.
And he's getting haunted by the ghost of Christmas past.
Exactly. It's exactly. Him and Joe Philbin are the same guy to me.
Joe Philbin's a great call. So names like that. Matt Eberflus a couple years ago.
Yeah, Matt Eberflus.
Making his debut. They beat him with Justin Fields in that monsoon.
That's right.
Like, so those are some of the names that he's gone up against. Steve Wilks, once upon a time, who was what? 2-0 against him, by the way.
And he was built for that.
He was built, mine to say, I'm built for this. So those are just some of the names. By the way, Dan Campbell, another name that he won. Like, so there are some names.
Interesting.
Matt LaFleur, he's played up against some of these guys that are still in the league or that you'll never hear from again. So it was just interesting to go through there. And honestly, I came away from it, Joe, being more appreciative of Kyle Shanahan. And I think we as fans need to appreciate longevity in the NFL first and foremost way more than we probably do. Like, I get it. Steve Kerr's been there for a long time. He's got the skins and the pelts on the wall. He's got the championships. You know, he was a great player in his own right. He made some big shots and big moments. We knew who Steve Kerr is. And he's going to be a made man and go down as one of the greatest of all time in his sport when it comes to coaching. And rightfully so, I believe. But with Kyle Shanahan, I just came away so appreciative of how well he has been able to kind of weather this storm of these injuries, of the nature of the National Football League. And let's not get it twisted. The fact that he's maintained a pretty freaking good relationship with ownership and the general manager all this time, by the way, still the same at both. I don't think we talk enough about that. As we're watching that Cowboy doc, as we're watching rifts between head coaches and GMs, as we are hearing the disgruntled nature, as we watch teams like the New York Jets have all that dysfunction for years and years, the Carolina Panthers. How many different head coaches did you say Eddie Pinheiro has
five.
Had? Five? In just one spot.
Yeah.
And they've had multiple ownership changes. They've had multiple general manager changes. They've had... It hasn't happened with Kyle Shanahan. And I don't think we celebrate enough of the wins when it comes to that.
No, I hear you. But this isn't the Carolina Panther fan base, right? To use them as an example. You know, I'm old enough to remember George Seifert won two Super Bowls and was fired after 8 years. Now, that's an extreme remembrance, and I don't know how many of the audience even knows how great George Seifert was. He's one of the greatest coaches the game has ever had.
Should be a Hall of Famer.
You were talking about all the things that Kyle has done so well over the years in terms of working with management. I mean, he did oversee the transition from Joe Montana to Steve Young, and he was a defensive guy.
He was.
All right? He did oversee a crazy time in the NFL where the Cowboys rose to prominence and the Green Bay Packers rose to prominence. And you probably saw some of the greatest quarterback play of the 90s in three straight years of Brett Favre. And why did he get fired? Because he couldn't beat Brett Favre. Because they kept losing in the playoffs. So I think a lot of the rhetoric about Kyle Shanahan is baked into the history of the team. Like, for example, I look at Anthony Volpe at shortstop with the Yankees. The criticism for Anthony Volpe is cranked up. Why? Because he's playing shortstop for the Yankees.
It's the pinstripes.
And it's an unfair ghost that he's chasing, who is Derek Jeter, who's a model citizen and one of the greatest players ever, even if I think he's slightly overrated defensively as a player. He's a great all-time player.
I mean, you're talking about the ghost of Christmas past. I mean, that's the ghost of Yankees past all the time. You're constantly fighting up against them. Constantly.
So I look at Kyle Shanahan, and I think, fair or not, he will always be compared to Bill Walsh, which is so unfair, to George Seifert, who gets forgotten at all times, to Jim Harbaugh, to all these other guys. And I think that when we look at, okay, he's in year nine. George never got to year nine.
No.
George got fired. Now, I know it's a different regime. It was different times. There was different metrics and all that. But I do think that there's a standard for the fan base, fair or not, that he has to live up to. I think there's a standard to the fan base, fair or not, that Brock Purdy lives up to.
Has Kyle Shanahan lived up to that standard for Niner fans? I wonder. 888-957-9570, because I think we're going to get a lot of cynical people saying, well, he has the standard of the Super Bowl. So by definition, yeah, he's gone to a couple of them. You haven't won them. So no, you haven't lived up to the standard. But I'd say the model of consistency, the fact that he's maintained a healthy relationship with his general manager, John Lynch, with ownership, with Jed York, and he's been able to have not one, not two, but three different iterations of this team, because this is the third, is you like to call it the Niners 3.0 mm-hmm. right now. And they might still make the playoffs this year, and we'll see what they do and if they can. Like, I just came away with so much respect as I was doing this deep dive. The longest tenured head coach since Bill Walsh in 49ers history. It's actually an incredible sentence to say, Joe.
It is.
And I know you're a historian of the game, and I do wonder, you know, how we're going to be viewing Kyle Shanahan when it's all said and done and the book still hasn't been written. But I say all that to say, this is why you win this week. This is why I have a head coach like that. Like, I'm not losing. I cannot wrap my head around. I know you and Bonte, we were all talking about it. It's like, don't sleep on the Saints. Don't sleep on the Saints.
Well, it's the NFL.
It's the NFL. But also, I got Kyle Shanahan. I got Brock Purdy. I'm not losing to Spencer Rattler. And I'm not losing to Kellen Moore, first-time head coach. I'm just not.
I mean, they lost to, okay, they lost to P.J. Walker. Just hear me out. They lost, when they were fully healthy, they lost to P.J. Walker.
Wasn't a first-time head coach, though.
No,
Kevin Stefanski knows what he's doing. And also,
backup quarterback.
And also,
though,
that was a little different because Jim Schwartz is the kryptonite. No, seriously, is he not? Jim Schwartz, defensive coordinator, Browns, is the kryptonite to Kyle Shanahan.
I mean,
much like Brian
looking
Flores.
Like, it's still the NFL. They drive big cars and live in big homes, too.
I hear you, but this is what I lean on if I'm a Niner fan. I'm going with my guys over that 10 times out of 10, not even close. That's why, ultimately, Joe, that's why you're going to be picking the Niners this week, because you're riding with Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. You're not riding with Kellen Moore and Spencer Rattler.
Well, if it's Mac Jones, it's 50-50 to me. If it's Purdy, I feel a lot better. But I'm not, I don't sleep on opponents. I dissed the Vikings last year and Sam Darnold, who I thought was a joke, and it came back to bite me, and I learned a lesson, and I'm trying to show growth.
I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout. That's not what I'm saying.
I don't think you said that.
No. But I want to make it abundantly clear that this could still be a tight game, but ultimately, it's going to be the veteran leadership of those two positions, the head coach and the quarterback, that gets it done. Or you could go veteran leadership on the defensive side as well. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Demo Lenore. And again, I keep coming back to that defense and that performance, man. Oh my. Well, I feel so much better about the season already because of, and it sounds insane, of a one-game sample size on defense. It looked night and day to me. Incredible.
No, I'm glad you brought up Saleh, because I brought up Seifert for a reason earlier. Bill Walsh had Seifert as his defensive coordinator for about a decade, you know, and Seifert was a trusted assistant. And their defenses were not just good, they were elite. Every year they won it all, they were in top six, seven, every single metric for Bill Walsh. And so you can't talk about how great that team was without also talking about how dynamic those defenses were. Charles Haley, Ronnie Lott, I mean, those are two of the greatest players to play defense in Niner uniform at any time. Shanahan is different with Saleh on the sideline. Now, I know he had great success with D'Amico Ryans, but when I watched it over the weekend and I'm seeing Robert Saleh on the sidelines with Kyle Shanahan, there's just the whole vibe of the team feels different, and it permeates through the screen. Seeing him celebrate with his guys, clearly the two top dogs on defense love him and trust him and believe in him. but I just feel so much more comfortable that they're going to get things done. So, like, you're right about Shanahan, and I hear you, but I do think Shanahan gets elevated when he has Saleh on the staff, and I think Saleh's elevated as a DC alongside Kyle as the head coach. Like, they are a perfect 1-2 punch. So, as you talk about Shanahan, Saleh was just what the doctor ordered as an acquisition in the offseason. So I think they both kind of go hand in hand for me right now.
Well, and Shanahan gets credit for bringing him back. Like, that's where you credit the head coach.
No
like,
doubt.
That's
and
under
I was
him.
Really down on that.
Yep, people were. They
I just thought, like, I wanted something new.
No, I think you and Bonte, you were talking about maybe Eberflus, if you can get him. Maybe if Dennis Allen was out
injecting
there.
Injecting some new. Yeah,
exactly, something new. But something new. But also had experience at that spot,
yes.
too, because with the lack of experience from Nick Sorensen, that was glaring at times. But the fact that you brought in someone that was familiar, I think, is very important in this season. You could hear it from Nick Bosa. You can hear it from Fred Warner. He just gets the juices flowing a little bit. Now, he saw it immediately on the sidelines, even back to preseason. Sparky and Alameda wants to join in the conversation in regards to the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. Sparky, what's up? You're on the morning
roast. What's up, Sparky?
Good morning, fellas. And you know what? I'm having my coffee ready, and there's no better couple to have it like with you guys as well.
Let's go.
Yes, go. So listen, you know what? 49ers got the win. Unfortunately, in my book, the Seahawks got the bigger win, which is, I think all the time they were playing, they have one thing in mind. It's like, not obviously to win the game, but to be able to take the 49ers out from that division by eliminating as many players they had by day playing aggressiveness. The 49ers, they just are super smart when they come to play, but they just don't play aggressive. And we need to bring the guns out because other teams are stronger, and we do have a kind of young quarterback still, and he's still soft. So he's gonna be sacked back and forth, and you know what? They just gotta play aggressive, and because all the teams are doing it. And
Sparky, you don't think that Nick Bosa play to win the game and force a fumble is aggressive?
I don't. You know what?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. All right. Thanks, Sparky and Alameda. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm sorry. What was that? Oh, I know the Niners won the game, but did they really win the game? Yes, they're 1-0.
He had a pretty good point on the phone that he was making about wanting to see Kyle Shanahan be more aggressive with his play calling, which I thought he was getting to that, but clearly he called an audible on hold.
Your caller screening?
No, I'm throwing the caller under the bus for changing his take.
He's throwing Sparky under the bus right now.
Sam, I know you do a good job. It's okay, buddy.
But that happens, you know.
I do sometimes.
Maybe his take shifted as he was on hold. Who knows? But for you to say...
He pivoted, not panicked.
Well, he basically said that, and also was like insinuating that the Seahawks were trying to hurt the Niners players. Like, no, George Kittle, I almost called him George Hamstring. George Kittle pulled his hamstring. Like, I'm sorry, that wasn't because of what Leonard Williams did to him. He pulled a hammy. Like, and the notion that Brock Purdy is soft, I would never say that about that quarterback ever. That Brock Purdy is quote-unquote soft. Ever. Go up there up close and personal with those guys. Look at the size and speed at which they hit these players. Brock took some shots in that game, Joe. I know you've been sending him in the group chat, like, when did he get hurt? Trying to diagnose the foot injury, the shoulder.
He took some huge hits.
He took some shots in that game.
I mean, that defensive line was ferocious.
Would you say he's soft?
No. Yeah. No.
Thank you.
Brock Purdy?
That's stupid.
Part of what makes Brock Purdy so amazing is his ability to hang in there and deliver a ball while taking one straight to the face mask.
Thank you.
And it's a part where I'm like, hey, maybe pick and choose a little better. You know, like, I don't want him taking the amount of hits that he takes. I think there are some plays that he held on to the ball a little long where I'm like, just eat that play.
Just eat it. Shout out Weird Al Yankovic. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about Kyle Shanahan sneakily. Longest tenured head coach in 49ers history since Bill Walsh.
It's
pretty
remarkable.
Incredible. Let me
ask you about something, though, because like, fair or not, like, you know, who you follow in life does matter. Like, was Dusty Baker a great Giants manager?
I mean, he got to a World Series.
Oh, you talk to people my age, we love Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
We love him. He's like, we knew he had flaws, but we freaking love him. Had Dusty come after Bochy,
ooh,
wouldn't we view Dusty different? And that's like, he could do all the same stuff, right? But Bochy is the gold standard now. It has recalibrated. So anyone after him gets rung through the whole ringer, if you will. And it's fair or not, like you're chasing the Bochy stuff. And it's almost impossible.
Has Kyle Shanahan lived up to the 49ers standard for you Niner fans? 888-957-9570.
What is the standard?
What is this? Well, that's kind of what I want to get at. Because every single team that's won a Super Bowl is going to immediately say, no, that's the standard. So if we're going to say that, then you can't have any success. So if Kyle Shanahan, you know, hangs it up after this season, he's no longer going to coach the 49ers, we're really going to sit here and say, yeah, I mean, he didn't get it done, so he was a failure here. Really? Is that how we're going to view it? We got to have a little bit more nuance than that as a fan base, right? Because the 49er fans, I like to think, are one of the more smarter fan bases when it comes to the NFL.
I keep saying, I said this for multiple years. To me, he's Don Nelson in football. We love him.
Did Don Nelson ever get to an NBA Finals as a coach?
Yeah, with Milwaukee, I believe. He drives us completely insane. We love him. We think he's extremely innovative. But part of his own stubbornness gets in his own way. If that makes any sense whatsoever. They are very, very similar to me. I love Don Nelson. I also think that he had some specific flaws that always bit him in the butt when push came to shove. And I feel similarly with Kyle. There are some things, and all coaches have bugaboos. There's some things that he kind of gets in his own way on.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.